Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Somebody told me 5G interferes with airplanes, and now I don't want to use my phone anywhere. Will planes drop from the sky if I make a 5G call? Or is this some engineer on paper only problem just meant to scare me? Are you confused? Don't be. Let's help you know a little more about 5G interference with airplane systems. AT&T and Verizon want to roll out 5G in the C-band. That's between 3.7 and 4.2 gigahertz frequencies that the FCC defines. The IEEE actually defines it as a much wider stretch, all the way up to 8 gigahertz. But the C-band we're talking about in this episode is the FCC version. And it's even a little smaller slice than that. AT&T and Verizon were approved specifically for service between the 3.7 and 3.98 gigahertz band. This will help them increase the coverage of the higher capacity, lower latency service called 5G. That's what you want, right? But some airplane equipment operates in nearby frequencies between 4.2 and 4.4 gigahertz. So there were questions of possible interference. 5G is operating in those frequencies in some countries, and the US FCC inquired about safety and determined that well-designed equipment should not ordinarily receive any significant interference, let alone harmful interference. Pay attention to that well-designed part. But Federal Aviation Administration in the US felt differently and felt it was necessary to limit pilots' use of some automated cockpit systems, like landing assistance for bad weather, if 5G service was activated in that region. Is there really interference? If there is, then the FCC probably shouldn't have issued the approval for 5G. But if there isn't, why would the FAA react by shutting off some certain important systems? Maybe they're both right, in a way. Here to help us understand what's going on with all this is airline captain and computer scientist Brian Hoffman. Brian, thank you so much for being willing to help us wrap our heads around this.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me, Tom.
All right. So the crux of the problem seems to be between 5G and the C-band, as the FCC defines it, and equipment like the radar altimeter, or RADALT, as we'll call it, which is one component that you use during auto landing during bad weather, right? Can you explain that for non-pilots? What's the worry here?
All right. The radar altimeter is used to tell me, the pilot, in inclement weather, how far above the ground I am. Think of it as a radar or a device that is looking through a very large straw directly beneath the aircraft, and it sees how close I am to the ground.
Yeah, an important thing to know.
Important thing to know when I can't see the ground and I want to land. Mm-hmm. As I get close to the runway, there are no obstructions, so it's really showing me just how far above the runway I am and the last, 100 feet to the ground. The problem is radar altimeters is a very old system. It's a very low power system. And if it gets a spurious signal, it can get confused. And if that happens, I'm going to go around or do what's called a missed approach. I don't get to land because that system is that important to being able to land the aircraft.
Right. So 5G strays over somehow. We'll get to that later. And it says, I don't know what that is. So I don't want to make a mistake and have you hit the ground too fast. Pull out.
There's actually two problems. One is it thinks I'm by the ground too soon. Mm-hmm. So I start my landing procedure while I'm still in the air, mm-hmm. maybe let's say 50 feet. Well, that's a bad thing. So I'm going to go around from that. Or it doesn't tell me I'm getting to the ground until I've hit the ground. Mm-hmm. That's a hard landing.
Right.
That's also bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So both the problems, one is a little bit worse than the other.
Now, is it that the spectrum, and this dispute between the two of them, is it that the spectrum doesn't interfere on paper, but maybe the Radalt equipment uses a little more bandwidth than it's supposed to?
The Radalt altimeter was assigned as frequency, and no device is perfect. No antenna is perfect. No transmitter is perfect. No radio is perfect. If you remember back with the old television we had, the NTSC, it had a much broader bandwidth for getting you channel 8, 5, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Now, with ATSC, they're using a much smaller slice of that bandwidth. So now you have 8, 8.1, 8.2, because they're newer technologies. Red altimeters were older technologies. They were in their space, but they were allowed certain tolerances. So if they slid a little in or a little out of that, that was accepted. That was a tolerance. And so tolerances have been tightened up, obviously, as we get
right.
further and further along.
So if anybody doesn't remember this, back in the day, if you had a TV that had a tuning, fine-tuning dial on it, if you went to channel 6, you could get the entire AM band between channel 6 by just kind of tuning around. Like, that's how big those TV channels are. So that kind of helps me understand this, is the Radalts were supposed to work on channel 6, but, you know, big, not that they were on channel 6, but, you know, like they have a big wide swath, because back in the day they had lots of room. Is that right?
They had a lot of room. There was nothing on either side. And remember, the technology was old. There isn't a software-defined radio in the old days. Mm-hmm. It didn't exist. They were either crystalled, so they have specific frequencies, or how they were – that's probably a little too far. Pull that part out. We don't want to talk that deep, I don't think.
There's a crystal head out there that's very excited that you mentioned it. But yeah, I got you.
But the average person – the radio altimeter itself was designed as a hardware device. And as a hardware device – to update it, you'd have to change the hardware. There is no programming of older equipment to say, hey, tighten up, narrow up, use a different antenna. And remember, if we do any of those things, we have to get recertified for flight. And that's a whole process in and amongst itself. So there's the radio altimeter itself to get cleaned up is going to take that entire process from, hey, we have a requirement to do something, improve the radio altimeters, make them use less bandwidth, make them more reliable, give me a better signaling, whatever the thing is. Well, the FAA is going to be involved. The FCC is going to be involved. Industry is going to be involved that manufactures the device, that are going to install it in aircraft, that are going to train me how to use the device, who are going to test me on how to use, and then the maintainers are going to have the same process. So there's a huge process in place to make a new radio altimeter or to adjust what we currently have. So that's part of the crux of, if we need a solution right away, 5G is really going to be the guys that are going to make the solution happen.
Gotcha.
Right away.
Gotcha. So it's not as easy as, like, well, just, you know, get in there with a screwdriver and tighten up that radalt so it doesn't bleed out as much. It sounds like really you can't even just, like, wrap a filter around it like you would with your old fold lines to keep the AM radio or the FM radio from appearing on it. It's not even that simple. And any solution you do, whether it is adapting them or more likely from what you're talking about, new equipment, that requires new equipment processes, which I think people understand. When you put new equipment in an airline, you need to make very sure it works, everyone knows how it works, and it doesn't cause any other problems, right?
That's correct, sir. Yeah. Well said.
All right. So then why did the FCC say this is okay? Is it simply that they're looking at this and saying, well, your bandwidth is here, and in practice, it's like, well, sure, it's supposed to be there, but in practice, it won't always be there, and there's a disconnect between who's going to blink, who's going to adapt.
One of the things that you got to remember is, again, nothing is perfect. So the 5G antennas, which have more power, and quite frankly, they're pointed horizontally. So my radar altimeter, while it's looking straight down, could see a signal that's spurious, that bounces off something else.
Sure, just reflects now off stuff, yeah.
Just reflects, and now I have a false signal. Mm-hmm. There is some discussion about mitigating radio altimeters with their exclusionary masks. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen how far that's going. But the reality is, The FCC owns radio waves through space. The FAA owns things flying through the airspace. And bearing the lead here a little bit, they're finally now all working together. You have both regulators, you have manufacturers of both equipment, you have users of both equipment, all working together. And they've come up with, if you look in the links, several of those documents show you the lengths that people have gone to figure out what the proper mitigation is so that all of the things can work and play together. It's going to be an interesting solution. If you look long-term, I think this is going to be one of those things that people say, that was a watershed moment where industry got it. They are now just, they're working together better.
And that was the news we had on Daily Tech News Show in November, is that instead of what we've seen in other situations, right, where there was maybe some interference with GPS from satellites or maybe some other interference in cockpit systems from the use of phones, instead of finger pointing, Verizon and AT&T did say, you know what, we have the right to go in December, but we'll hold off and let's figure this out. And instead of the FAA saying you need to fix this or the FCC saying you need to fix this, they are saying, well, we can do this much. And if you can do that much, then this will work. Is that what's actually happening?
That's pretty close. I don't know that they've gotten exactly to the point of solution finding. I think they have quantified the issues, mm-hmm. which is a great first step. Once you know what the problem is, you can work towards a solution.
And there is something that the carriers could do on their end?
I believe that the carriers, the 5G
other than
carriers,
not operate in that spectrum, obviously, but to still operate in the spectrum.
Remember, radar altimeters is a low power, basically a short range device that I used in the last several miles as I'm approaching a runway. If you brought your antennas a little bit further away from the airport, now the power that you're blanketing, quote unquote, the airport with is much lower. That is going to be a mitigation strategy that will be considered. Not putting those antennas at the airport could be considered, lowering the power, angling the antennas slightly to where they don't bounce, or go do a mitigation map and see where they are bouncing and fine tune your antennas to where they're not pointing anywhere near the runway.
Right, right. And I see where the carriers are getting squirmy there, because it's not that they need the C-band to cover the airport to provide coverage. It's that, but gosh, if we can point our antennas towards the airport where a lot of people use cell phones, that certainly helps our capacity and our latency, and the C-band, unlike the millimeter wave, goes through walls and that and stuff. So there is a cost element of, well, sure, they wouldn't have to use C-band coverage around airports at all. That'd solve the problem in a heartbeat. But that would mean they would have to either install a bunch of repeaters inside the airport, which is a whole thing, you know, with airport authorities and all that. And then there's just the general cost of, like, well, you can have it, but just try to angle it away from the runways and all of that sort of thing. So it does sound like it's simply an exercise in compromise of, like, well, how much are you willing to do to mitigate the radar altimeters, and how much are you willing to do to mitigate the C-band on the runway? Is that a fair way of putting it?
Perhaps. Again, radar altimeters are going to be much harder to mitigate simply because they're older technologies.
Yeah. The answer for the FAA is we can't do a whole lot. Sorry.
Well, one of the nice things you could do is, most of the time I have good enough weather that I visually fly the airplane to the runway and land.
Right.
So you could be looking at the weather and say, when the weather gets to a certain level, now you power down or lower power your C-band stuff around airports.
Okay.
But most of the time, it doesn't matter.
Sure, sure. Which so was, I mean, that is the FAA's mitigation plan right now, is the sort of the blunt hammer version of that, which is, well, if there's C-band in that airport, then you can't use radar, right? That's what it was going to be until they had this delay.
Auto land was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is no good for you as a pilot.
Well, remember, radar altimeter doesn't just tell my airplane how high it is above the ground. It starts sequences. Like if you see a red light in front of you, you take your foot off the gas. But when I get to a certain altitude, I'm closing out the throttles because I don't need any more energy. I'm trying to now get the airplane ready to land and stop. So things like that take a cue off the radar altimeter. Certain terrain avoidance takes a cue off the radar altimeter. There's a lot of things out there that get utilized, not just the Autoland systems. It's a holistic problem But this is one specific focus of Autoland. It happens in other places, but this is the worst case scenario.
Yeah,
that's easily explained to the masses.
And if they hadn't delayed it, you would have just not used it in certain areas. And what that doesn't mean you can't land planes in bad weather. It just means what? Delays, circling? What does it mean?
No, what it'll mean is, first off, we're coming into the winter weather season. So here in North America, we're going to have some places that, you know, have coastal fogs and whatnot. Yeah. So what it'll mean is, and that's called a notice to airmen or NOTAM, they'll say, hey, this, you know, Autoland Cat 3 runways, Cat 3 approaches are no longer authorized. Category 3 is the most helpful to land the aircraft on the runway by itself. And so Category 3 runways and approaches would be NOTAM non-usable. So now I have to see to land. So I might do a Category 1, which is the least amount of equipment to help me get to the runway. Category 2 is obviously a little bit more than Category 1, and Category 3 is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can't use the Autoland function, I'm no longer able to use Category 2s and Category 3 approaches, but Category 1s I can still shoot the approach. What that'll mean is, if you're going into an airport that's on the coast and it's coastal fog, you may not get in that day.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to divert and go somewhere else. And that bothers an awful lot of passengers, and all the stuff doesn't get where it's going. And systems are disrupted because the crews were in the wrong place, the airplane's in the wrong place, the passengers in the wrong place, the cargo's in the wrong place. There you have it.
Yeah. And most people are not going to connect the dots. They're going to blame the airline or just chalk it up to the weather. They're not going to blame carriers. They're not going to go all the way back and find out, oh, it's because C-band operates at that airport, which is why the carriers could have just said, well, okay, that, you know, it doesn't hurt us. But thankfully, they have delayed at least for a month to try to work this out. Because if I know what's going on, I would rather have a little less 5G reception in an airport because I can get Wi-Fi maybe, or LTE is good enough, than have my plane delayed or have a higher chance of my plane being delayed or diverted or whatever.
I think that's pretty close to spot on. The carriers are doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
which I think is spectacular. They saw that, hey, this was an unintended consequence. And we need to back up and make sure that we're going to mitigate this, because we don't want to upset our customers and we don't want to upset the airports. We don't want to lose the capability of all the aboves. Thus, everyone's working together, which I think is spectacular. Yeah.
Well, and I understand why the carriers don't want to just not use C-band at all, right? They want to push for, if we can, we want to use it. And if it means, like, okay, we have to do some of those mitigations you talked about, angling away, having a system to power down C-band and have a supplemental coverage. I imagine carriers are going to want to have consistent coverage, so they may go for some other option. But they want to push it as far as possible, and I understand that. Just as a traveler and a cell phone user, at the end of the day, I want them to do it safely, first of all, of course. And I will be willing to give up a little of my cell phone coverage for you to be able to use your Radalt anytime you need to, and keep us safely landing and on time as much as possible, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Brian, is there anything else you can think of that would help us understand this? This has been incredibly helpful for me to be able to wrap my head around it.
Staying at the know a little more level, I think we're there. We've got we've talked about how hard it is to bring new systems into an aircraft, why they're useful in an Autoland situation in bad weather, why the carriers would like to be able to use the 5G. All of us have our 5G phones now. Faster is better. More data is always better. The fact that they've come together on both sides of the aisle, both governmental agencies.
Yeah, sorry.
It gets a little tricky sometimes.
They feel like whole governments sometimes, I know.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
But to get everybody on both sides of the aisle on this one together, it's impressive. And I think they understand the gravity of the situation. And this isn't just a, hey, we might interfere a little bit. You know, something really bad could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And so everyone's working together to solve this one. And I think that is outstanding. And I know several of the people at the table working on this, and I would doff my chapeau to those guys because they're doing Herculean work.
Fantastic. We'll thank them on our behalf. Absolutely. Yeah, that kind of cooperation should be like banner headlines on newspapers, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Brian, thank you so much for joining us and helping us understand this. Normally, this is where people plug their things. I don't know if you have a thing to plug or just, you know, keep an eye out if you're riding planes. Maybe Brian will be flying one of them.
You never know where I'll be. I will say that having a window seat on the world is just one of the best jobs on the planet, and flying through the pandemic as I have, watching the before, during, and after the pandemic, it has been eye-opening to see the entire world stop.
I bet.
And then to see people like you continuing on, soldiering on through the pieces of the puzzle, virtual CESs, all the other crazy things that are going on. That has been just amazing to watch, and to see that, you know, the entire world start to come out of this, it's refreshing because, man, we need it.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Brian, thank you so much for keeping us flying. Thank you again for helping us understand this. I hope this helps everybody out there understand why invisible things like radio waves can cause a turf war in the air. In other words, I hope you know a little more about 5G interference with airplanes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.